It's that time of the week when Nicholas Parsons sashays up to the microphone to say...
Welcome to Just a Minute. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it is my pleasure to welcome our many listeners, not only in this country, but throughout the world, and also to welcome to the show four exciting guests who have played the game many times before. And it's always a pleasure to welcome back that engaging and delightful comedian, Graham Norton, the brilliant stand-up comedian who's filled theatres throughout the country, including the Edinburgh Festival, and that is Ross Noble, that charming and clever comedian, Linda Smith, and also the clever and witty Clement Freud. Would you please welcome all four of them? And as usual, I am going to ask them to speak on a subject that I will give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. Beside me sits Janet Staplehurst, who's going to help me keep the score. She'll blow a whistle when the 60 seconds are up. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the Warwick Arts Centre, which is on the campus of the University of Warwick, and we have a highly excited audience. We've assembled here from all corners of the West Midlands, ready to cheer us on our way. And Graham, your turn to begin. The subject, swashbuckling. Something which I associate you with, I'm sure. Will you swashbuckle a bit or talk about the subject starting now?
Sometimes, usually when I'm a little drunk, I do get my sword out and wave it around. But I don't think we could really call it swashbuckling. I leave that to pirates. Ooh, they're fascinating men. Obviously, they don't have pockets in their big trousers. Otherwise, why would they have hankies on their head?
Ross, my big trousers.
I thought there was a little bit of hesitation there, a little bit of...
No, I think he was stumbling through his words, but they were sufficiently coherent not to be interpreted as hesitation. So, benefit of the doubt to you, Graham, and you keep another point on the subject, and there are 41 seconds starting now.
Swashbuckling. Gosh, I know so much about it. I can't wait to get started. Up until now, it's really been a preamble. Pirate Sea...
Ross. Yes.
I'm a genius.
You, what's the... I know
well,
what
he was going to say a pirate and then he went... And he went
Well, he did say pirates before.
He did say pirates, yes.
But he said piracy.
He went pirates.
Well, the buzzer went through the piracy. Right. Ah, cleverly done. This is what they do. Have little tricks to trip each other up. So, Graham, you have another point. Incorrect challenge and 32 seconds available. Swashbuckling starting now.
As I'm sure you're aware, I'm talking on the subject of swashbuckling. And I couldn't be more excited. Ooh, the vision of ropes and the buckles being swashed. Oh, sweet Lord in heaven, what does it mean?
Clement challenged.
I thought that was hesitation.
There was a hesitation, yes. So, Clement, you have the subject now. You have a point for a correct challenge. You have 19 seconds. Tell us something about swashbuckling starting now.
Swashbuckling is usually perpetrated by people who are younger than I am. Nevertheless, there is a sort of seniority in the swashbuckling business. And I have friends aged 18, 27, 31, and 49 who have swashbuckled with the best of them.
Clement Freud was then speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point for doing so. Linda, your turn to begin. The subject... Chores. Tell us something about chores in this game, starting now.
Chores is a name we give to rather dreary and unpopular drugs. My grandchildren.
Right. I think your look on your face got the laugh there, Linda. But, Graham, what was your challenge?
I'm sensing deviation. Yes. Of a profound and worrying nature.
Well, that's another type of challenge, yes. But, of course, she repeated it. But 56 seconds, you tell us something about chores, Graham, starting now.
Many years ago, and this is a little-known fact, can't wait for my autobiography to come out. Gosh, that's a hard word.
Yes.
That's a touch of hesitation.
Yeah, we interpret that stumble as hesitation. Linda, you have the subject back. You have chores. You have 50 seconds, starting now.
Chores can involve things like washing the floor, unblocking drains, and leading the Tory party. All those sort of things you'd rather not do because they're rather boring.
Clement Challenge.
Two rathers.
There were two rathers, I'm afraid. Yes, Linda.
Yeah.
So you have 37...
I noticed that. I did like to say.
Rather difficult when you were talking about other things, too. 37 seconds are available for Chores with you, Clement, starting now.
Chores is the title of a Steven Spielberg film pronounced by a Czechoslovakian. I have...
Ross Challenged.
Do you know all I wanted to say?
Sir Ross.
He just stopped.
He just stopped. I think he felt he'd been such a... Anyway, carry on. You have a correct challenge, Ross. You have 29 seconds. You tell us something about chores starting now.
One thing I like to do is to go into pubs and say, have you done your chores? And the barmaid goes, what chores? And I'll say, I'll have a pint of lager, please. And then that way, I'm able to get free drinks. Of course, that's a stupid thing to do, as I don't actually drink. And I'm laughed out drinking drinks.
Challenge.
Come on.
Yes. You don't actually drink and
walk straight into your trap.
Yeah, drink and drinks.
I know, there we are. They're all doing it now, drink and drinks, plurals and singulars. So, Ross, an incorrect challenge, 13 seconds. Chores starting now.
I have many chimneys in my house and they need cleaning on a regular basis. And I often get a small child to come round. And one of his chores is to go up that particular place for suit together. And he will...
Right, so Ross Noble speaking as a whistle gained an extra point, and for those interested in points, they're all three equal in second place behind Graham Norton, who's in the lead. And Ross, it's your turn to begin. The subject now is the best thing to do with an egg. There's tremendous scope there. And knowing your fertile mind, I'm sure you'll go with it for 60 seconds, starting now.
The best thing to do with an egg is not let it sit on a wall. That's where problems arise. The trouble is, you have to pay people to guard it, mainly king's men and horses as well. I mean, obviously, those blokes that are involved are useful, but the actual creatures themselves don't tend to lend themselves particularly well to...
Linda Challenge.
To themselves.
To themselves. So, Linda, you have a subject. You have 40 seconds. Ooh. It's the best thing to do with an egg, starting now.
The best thing to do with an egg depends on what kind of egg it is. If it's a pterodactyl egg, for example, the best thing to do is tend it, look after it, until that egg hatches, and then you'll have a baby pterodactyl.
Clement Challenge.
I thought you might not notice pterodactyl twice. Word like that.
Yeah, no. Well, they all press their buzzers, but Clemens came in first, and so you have the subject, Clement. 25 seconds available. The best thing to do with an egg, starting now.
The best thing to do with an egg is put it back whence it came. This is messy and painful and causes some alarm to the animal whence it emerged. But seriously, what to do with an egg?
Linda Challenge.
Not if it came from Tesco's. That would be quite a simple matter.
I don't get your logic. If it came from...
Well, putting it back where it came from.
No, he was talking about putting it back in the animal. If it came from Tesco's, it'd be rather difficult.
Oh, we should never mention it.
I thought you were going to have him for something else, but it's too late now. Right, so, Clement, it was an incorrect challenge, and there are 9 seconds, the best thing to do with an egg, starting now.
The best thing to do with an egg, if you want to buy one, is to go to Safeway, Tesco, Sainsbury's.
Graham Challenge.
Well, this can't be the best thing to do with an egg.
Yeah.
Well, no, because you just told us the best thing to do with an egg, and that's shove it back in the thing.
No.
So this is deviation. This is another good thing to do with an egg, but it can't be the best.
Graham, we are all a mass of contradictions.
Yes, but...
You've made me think tonight, Linda. Thanks.
It's one of those difficult decisions, Graham, but I see your logic. He has said, in Clement's mind, the best thing to do with egg was to shove it back up the hen's... what's it? And... And now he's saying the best thing is to go to... He didn't establish that. He said another thing to do with it. So he has deviated from what he originally said.
Yeah!
So I will give you the benefit of the doubt, and I will try and rest the balance sometime in Clement's favour, but you have the benefit this time. With 4 seconds to go, best thing to do with an egg, starting now.
The best...
And Clement Challenge.
Why don't I get the benefit of the doubt now?
All you get, Kermit, is a point because the audience enjoyed your interruption. But as Graham was interrupted, he gets another point and keeps the subject with 3 seconds on the best thing to do with an egg, starting now.
The best thing to do with an egg is full of contradictions. People don't quite know what.
So Graham was again speaking as the whistle went, and with that extra point has increased his lead. And Clement, it's your turn to begin. The subject is Balti. Tell us something about Balti in this game, starting now.
I wish this game were called Just a Second, because Balti is Hindi for bucket.
Lost your challenge.
That was the most amazing pause I've ever heard ever.
He made his point, he waited for his reaction, he got it, and decided to retire on his laurels.
He's like a sultan giving forth information.
Well, he looks a bit like a sultan on occasions, but anyway, he's the doyen of the show, isn't he? And he's been with us since it started, and he's retired on his laurels there. He left it to you. You got in first. Balti's the subject. 53 seconds, starting now.
Balti is best eaten with a nan. If she's not available, then get another elderly relative. Of course, don't mix them up. The last thing you want is to get an old lady and dip her into that hot, spicy thing. Oh, licking off the food is terrible, especially from all the little wrinkles around her eyes there. It's quite nice because you can put papadoms in the top of her head like that and it'll hold it nice and securely. Unfortunately, the rollers can dispense a little bit of fluid from the top of the head, which can put you off your meal. The waiters tend to get a little bit annoyed as well when you start dragging OAPs into the place, backing up the special bus, putting the hydraulic lift down, rolling them through. Can I have a coma for Mr. Wilkinson? No. He doesn't like that particular dish. No, no. He very much enjoys some.
So, Ross, you picked it up quite soon after it started, and so you went for about 50 seconds on that, which was pretty good, and the audience really enjoyed it. A round of applause showed it. And they were very generous, because there was a no-no at the end.
No,
and they,
yeah.
They had right, but they didn't. And that, if they got in then, that would have been really, really unfair, wouldn't it? Because you'd have had 2 seconds, and they'd have got 2 points. Anyway, I don't know. That was utterly boring, wasn't it? I'm so sorry.
At least you're honest.
I know. Well, I think this audience will let you know when you're winning or losing, won't they? Right. So, Graham, it's your turn to begin. The subject now is my daily constitutional, and you have, as always, 60 seconds, starting now.
My daily constitutional is a walk. But before I do it, I like to dress up as a pirate. Have I told you about my interest in those men? Yes, I have big brown boots almost to my waist. They're like a sort of leathery wader. And then, obviously, I check my pockets. I don't have any. Curses. The pocket, they... Oh, no, I heard.
Come on, you challenge.
Repetition of pocket.
Yes, there was the pockets there.
So... No, I think I said pockets and pocket.
Nope.
It made no sense, but I...
You actually did, but you did actually say pockets. The buzzer came on the pocket, but I'm giving the benefit of the doubt to Clement on this occasion. No, that's only fair.
Who cares about fair?
Clement, 40 seconds. Tell us something about my daily constitutional, starting now.
We no longer have a daily. We used to. But we now have a Portuguese woman who comes 3 days a week. Her name is Maria. And I'm not sure about her constitution, but I think... No, I...
Linda, you challenge first.
Yeah, he really wasn't sure about her constitution, was he?
No, she wasn't, so he paused. And you got in first. 26 seconds. Tell us something about my daily constitutional, starting now.
My daily constitutional will be a lot more pleasant if it wasn't for cyclists on the pavement. These people drive me mad. Nearly always grown men. I stand and scream after them, why don't you get a tricycle with stabilisers on, you big wuss? You shouldn't be on this...
Ross challenge.
Can a tricycle have stabilisers?
Very good point. No, because a tricycle...
It can if your child is very, very nervous.
Incredibly simple.
Oh, very simple. Or just no, actually,
Ross's logic is right. Because the stabilisers, if it's a two-wheeler, are the extra wheels to keep it stable. So a three-wheeler tricycle is stable already.
I think if we start bringing logic in at this stage of the game, it's a slippery slope.
It's a slippery slope. But I have to use some kind of logic sometimes when interpreting the challenges.
So, is this new?
Well, it sits back and waits for it all the time, doesn't it? I said those lines for you, Clement, so you can come back with those put-downs and you enjoy it, and so do the audience, which is part of the show. Ross, it's your turn, and you have My Daily Constitutional. You have 9 seconds starting now.
My Daily Constitutional is always ruined by the sight of Graham Norton on a stabilised tricycle dressed as a pirate.
Graham, challenge.
You can't have stabilised tricycles. That's madness.
So, Graham, you have another point, and you had 3 seconds on My Daily Constitutional starting now.
My Daily Constitutional is once around the deck, and then below for...
So, Graham Norton was again speaking as a whistle, Wayne, gained the next point. He's got a quite a strong lead. He's ahead of Clement Freud, Ross Noble and Linda Smith in that order. Only 1 point separates the other three. Clement, it's your turn to be in. The subject is 2 left feet, which is an expression we'd like you to talk about. 60 seconds starting now.
2 left feet is absolutely fine, provided you have 2 right feet as well. The embarrassment of 2 left feet is when you are right-footed or right-handed.
Ross challenged.
Repetition of right.
2 rights, yes.
Is hyphenated, right-footed, right-handed.
We've had this hyphenated discussion over the last 35 years. And as we deal in the world of sound, I'm not allowing hyphens anymore. Well, I haven't allowed it for years. Because if the word is correct, if it's joined up word, with all one word, then we allow it. But a hyphenated word, no. 2 rights, it's your, Ross, your call. 48 seconds, 2 left feet, starting now.
2 left feet is the sequel to the film My Left Foot with Daniel Day-Lewis. It really isn't as good as the original, quite frankly. I was most disappointed when I went to the cinema, rather than being a touching story about a young boy. Quite frankly, it was just...
Graham Challenge.
I feel bad, it was frankly twice.
Yes, there was 2 franklys, right. Graham, 33 seconds, tell us something about 2 left feet, starting now.
2 left feet are fine, except perhaps for the soldier who tends to march in circles. This doesn't go very well in battle, you know. But mind you, you'd even like a corn circle, perhaps.
Linda Challenge.
I don't really know why.
You don't know why, Challenge.
Stopped.
I think I... Was somebody else talking, as well as Graham?
No, there was... And even the audience were quiet, too.
I was just mumbling, yes, you could...
Oh, were you? Well, that might have been it.
Yes,
Perhaps I thought it was more than one person.
Yes, it could be, yes.
No, I think you're the other side of the stage from Graham. I think you quite hear him. He was keeping going.
Was he?
He might have dropped his voice slightly, as he does, you know. He does go up and down, you know. He modulates it rather dramatically as part of his technique for humour and drama.
Yes.
And...
Sorry, Graham, I tried, but he's not buying it.
No.
But Graham, actually, no, I did. You did keep going. So you have 21.
You might be hearing voices.
No, I don't think so. I have put tinfoil in my shoes. Mm. Usually does the trick. Mm.
21 seconds for you, Graham, on 2 left feet starting now.
2 left feet. Oh, it's a medical miracle and a shopping disaster.
Clement Challenge. Yes?
There was an
There was a hesitation there, yes. You did draw a long breath than usual and, yes, you did. You looked...
Actually, I thought the last time I did hesitate, but this time...
No, this time you did hesitate. No. I have to explain to my listeners, they look at me to try and bluff me out of it. No, Graham, your look, as engaging as it is, I can't... I give the benefit of the doubt to Clement. It was a hesitation. 15 seconds, Clement. 2 left feet starting now.
With 2 left feet, you have 10 left toes and a double handful of left... toenails. It is particularly important to remember that because 2 left feet is simply a wrong way.
Clement Freud's makers a whistle when gained the extra point. He's still in second place behind Graham Norton, our leader, but he's ahead of Ross Noble and Linda Smith in that order. And Graham, your turn to begin. The subject now, fiddling. Tell us something about... What a life of love. They must have strange minds. Fiddling is with you, Graham. 60 seconds starting now.
I have often been accused of fiddling. Sometimes in the middle of the night, my mother would shout, Graham, if you fiddle anymore, you'll knock the caravan over. And I would say to her, no, how am many times must I tell you, it's not fiddling, it's playing the violin. You're making yourself sound common. Don't you want us to improve? And so I would take my small case and skip to school, past the hedgerows containing beautiful wildflowers. Look, there's a bird high. And then I would get to the gates of the educational establishment and I would fiddle by the bus stop.
A Clement challenge.
Repetition of wood.
It's quite true. He did say wood more than once.
Yes, harsh but fair.
You haven't won any friends with that challenge, Clement, but it's...
I'm not here to make friends.
But you won points, and you've got another one now. Fiddling's with you. 20 seconds starting now.
Fiddling is a small violin, as with duck and goose, duckling, gosling. It is quite simple, a very minute instrument of music. We were very lucky once buying a house, and in the attic we found a Toulouse-Lautrec and a Stradivarius. The sad thing was...
Clement, yes, you'd like to finish that story, yes.
The sad thing was that few people know what trap violins Toulouse-Lautrec made. Sorry, I mentioned it.
Clement, you were speaking again as the whistle went, so you have moved forward. You're creeping up on our winner, Graham Norton, and
not
your birth...
Our winner.
Our leader. I
might be. Our leader, so sorry, yes, the leader in the show at the moment, Graham Norton, and you're both a few points ahead of Ross Noble and Linda Smith in that order. We're moving, actually, into the last round. Oh. And, Ross, it's actually your turn to begin, and the subject is Fancy Man. Tell us something about Fancy Man in this game, starting now.
Fancy Man was the greatest of all superheroes. Oh, yes. He was able to dance about the place. Ooh, look at me, he would say, as he ran about the all over the town. If somebody was...
Graham challenge.
A sort of hesitation there on the all over the...
All yes, over the... All, yes, right. All right, Graham, a point to you. 49 seconds. Fancy Man, starting now.
Fancy Man? No, thanks, I just had one. Is something you can sometimes hear in restaurants where they serve a rare fish called man.
Linda challenged.
There was a...
Yes,
there was. Because after what he said, he completely hesitated, yes. Naturally. Right, 38 seconds. Fancy Man with you, Linda, starting now.
I think a fancy man is some kind of exotic pet, like a fancy rat that people keep and pet, groom, and get them to the peak of...
Graham challenge.
I'm an idiot, because I... Anyway, we didn't repeat pet.
Oh, I might have done.
No.
Yes.
Did I?
Yes, you pet...
Yes.
You pet...
Yes.
Ooh, cool. Audience mob. There's a thin line across... Oh,
there's people with pitchforks up the back.
Burn her!
Look at that one with just the one tooth. Yes.
That's actually one of Graham's pirate friends.
They're engaged, they're committed, and so are the players. 30 seconds available for you, Graham. Fancy Man, starting now.
Sometimes I think I might be accused of being a fancy man because of the ridiculous clothes that I sometimes wear. I think...
Clement challenge.
Two sometimes.
Yes, sometimes. Oh, yes.
Is that right?
Yes, it was right.
I trust you completely.
No, you said at the beginning, I sometimes think, and then sometimes wear. Clement, 23 seconds. You tell us something about Fancy Man, starting now.
I can't really tell you a lot about Fancy Men, because I have never done so.
Graham, you challenge first.
Hesitation.
Yes, definitely, yes. Right. So, Graham, you've got him at 16.
Quite reasonably so, I think.
Yes, yes.
16 seconds now on Fancy Man, starting now.
Following on from what Clement said, that means...
Clement challenge.
I quite fancy Graham.
And judging by the applause, a lot of people in the audience do as well. Clement, obviously it's not a serious challenge, but the audience enjoyed your interruption. We should give you a bonus point for that. But Graham was interrupted, so he gets a point for that. He has 14 seconds. Graham, fancy man starting now.
Fancy man is some sort of man, I think, that a woman has on the side. A sort of green salad of sex.
Am I wrong?
Yeah.
No, but the image you create is lovely. And when you put the dressing on as well, it's even better. So what was your challenge, Clement?
It was a positional deviation.
A positional one?
On the side.
No, I think, technically speaking, that's often what it's referred to. Colloquially speaking, people talk about having somebody
on
the side.
I wasn't objecting to the colloquialism, but to the position. A woman can have a fancy man on her back.
Yes. You don't need to go into graphic detail. We know what you meant, and so did the audience. They understood.
Is that some kind of drug problem? I've got a fancy man on my back.
We're going down paths I don't think we should explore.
I have a monkey on mine.
I think we should leave the 5 seconds are still available with you, Graham, because it was an incorrect challenge. Fancy man starting now.
We all know the old song, Fancy Man, Fancy Man, Fancy Man, Fancy Man, Fancy Man.
No, just don't do that. Jenny Staplehurst sits next to me, just said to me, I didn't blow the whistle. Everybody clapped because she put the whistle in her mouth and they thought the whistle was going, and he'd gone on with fancy man, disobeying the rules and so forth. And Ross did actually challenge with half a second to go. So what was your challenge?
We don't know the old song, Fancy Man, Fancy Man, Fancy Man.
All right. So, Ross, you bring this round to a close with half a second to go on a Fancy Man starting now.
All together now.
So let me give you the final score, which Janet is now going to pass to me because she's kept the numbers for me. And just to give you, well, they were all very close. They all scored points. They all did so well. Linda was just in fourth place, just behind Ross. And Clement was only in second place, just 3 points behind our winner, who is this week, Graham Norton. A round of applause for Graham. Right, a popular winner. Thank you very much. I do hope you've enjoyed the show. It only remains for me to say thank you to Graham Norton, Ross Noble, Linda Smith and Clement Freud. Also thank Janet Staplehurst, who's helped me keep the score, blown her whistle so delicately, particularly when I told her to do it. And and also we thank our producer, Chris Neal, and we are indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this game, and we're very grateful to this lovely audience here at the Warwick Arts Centre. From my audience, from me, Nicholas Parsons, from the panel, goodbye. Tune in the next time we play Just a Minute.
Next week, Just a Minute, we'll be coming from the Old Vic in London, where Nicholas Parsons is joined by Clement Freud, Tony Hawkes, Julian Clary and Stephen Fry.